Good morning, everybody. If you would join me in a quick word of prayer before we get started. Jesus, we want to give thanks. It's so good to start our day with you, Lord, in your word, seeking your face, seeking your ways. And Lord, we just desire your guidance in our lives, Lord, so that we would walk a straight path with you, Lord. And so, Lord, would you, give us alert minds and give us minds to really understand and apply your lessons to us, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you would turn with me there. Okay, and we're going to read from verse 3, but we're really going to look at from verse 5 to verse 11. Okay? So we're going to look at from verse 5 to 11, but we're going to read starting from verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scripture, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. Amen. Amen. So we're going to start, and we're going to look at verse 5, starting at verse 5. And from verse 5 to verse 8, Paul is just listing all the people who are witnesses to Jesus' resurrection. And so he lists Cephas, who's Peter, that we commonly know. And then it says he appeared to the 12. And so this term, the 12, at this point, we know that, Judas is no longer a part of the 12. But he still references, it's almost like it's a reference to that whole group of people, right? So he says, so obviously he didn't appear to Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus. But still, it's referenced as the 12, the original 12 disciples. And then it says he appeared to 500 people. And then he appeared to James, that's his blood brother, and then also the apostles, and then finally also himself, who he very humbly says, one who was untimely born, because at that time he was really being challenged as one of, I guess, the main leaders, apostles. He was never official, but a lot of people challenged his position. And so he was kind of saying, kind of putting himself down as the word he used for the one untimely born. It's the Greek word ektroma, which oftentimes how it would be used would be for like abortion, stillbirth, miscarriage. So kind of not a positive way of mentioning himself. And so why is Paul listing all these significant people who had close relationship with Jesus, and also maybe not so close, but 500 people, right? He's making the case because he just kind of explained what the, I guess, the whole gospel, like why for the sins of the people, and then what happened, right? And he's basically saying this is real, right? This is more than just our, you know, it's more than just religion or belief in something or good ideas. This is something real, right? This is really something that happened, and, you know, just based on the over 500 people witnessed this. So imagine, hopefully as you hear this, you're like, oh, wow, it's real what happened, right? Imagine, you know, like something happened and you wanted to deceive someone, right? You might be able to do it with one or two people, right? And try to get the story straight, right? But this is 500 people, right? And so the only conclusion that you could come to with this many people corroborating what happened is it was in fact real, right? I don't think, is it possible to have over 500 people, even if they like were tricked into doing it, they would probably still have different stories, right? So all to say, hopefully as you read this, you're like, oh, this Jesus is real, right? He really died. He was buried. He really did resurrect. And based on the things he said and did, right, he really is the Son of God, right? He's real in our lives right now. Okay, let's continue. And then in verse 9, Paul says, I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. And so Paul is comparing himself to all the other apostles. And he says, I am the least. Why is he the least? Because of his past and what he did, his prior profession, which was he seeked out Christians and he persecuted them, right? This, like, if we were to really measure badness, right, this would be really bad. He's not just hurting himself, right, which oftentimes we're dealing with sin, we're dealing with ourselves, but he's also taking a next level, he's hurting others. And what's significant about Paul when he says this, I believe, is, and what's different from maybe us, right, oftentimes we also have similar thoughts when we're comparing ourselves to each other, other people, right? We're like, oh, no, they're so, I don't know, like you receive a compliment. Maybe someone says to Mon, oh, Mon, you're so good today on worship, right? And she's like, oh, no. Well, I'm not as good as, I can't think of a worship leader. Famous Tim Hughes, I don't know, or I'm not as good as Lisa, or just saying it, right? And sometimes we do that, and we're trying to be humble, right? Like, oh no. But in this case, what's significant about Paul is, even though it sounds very humble, what's significant is, he really meant it, right? Like, he really meant it when he's like, oh, compared to the apostles, I'm really the least. Now, does that mean, therefore, Paul is putting I guess, significant weight on this, the fact that he was the least, I would say no, right? But we'll see. We'll continue on. Verse 10. So it's interesting. He kind of like compares himself to the apostles and says, I'm the least. Keep that in mind. And then in verse 10, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain. And I want to highlight, it did not prove vain, right? And so Paul here, he's crediting his transformation to God, right? He says, it's by the grace of the God I am what I am. I went from this person full of hate, persecuting Christians, to who I am now, full of love, right? And even though people are persecuting me, I'm responding instead of hate, I'm responding love. And he's crediting it, this transformation, to God. And he says, his grace toward me did not prove vain. And this really struck me, right? Which is, he received this incredible grace, this incredible love, this incredible touch on his life. And he didn't just go, praise God. I mean, he did this. I'm sure he's like, praise God, God, you're amazing. And then that was it, right? He did not just let it end there. How did he respond? By not responding in vain, which is he just was like, thank you, that's it. It says, but I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. So how did he respond? It says he labored even more than all of them. He tried harder than anyone else. He didn't just do nothing, right? And I mean, let the Holy Spirit speak to us. I'm sure many of us, we've had our significant encounters with God, right? And how did you respond? Did you just say, oh, praise God, share a testimony? And those are great things. But how about beyond that? Did you labor as hard as you could for the Lord? And he says, I labored even more than all of them. Who is he referencing? The apostles, right? All the other leaders, I worked harder than all of them. So it's kind of interesting. One sentence ago, he goes from, I am the least of all the apostles because I used to persecute the church. And now he says, I labored harder than all of them. He went from comparing himself and putting him, I guess, down. And then now he's comparing himself to the apostles and basically saying, I'm the most, right? And so it's a little peculiar, but it is significant, you know, when he says, I labored even more than all of them, because he's also saying his response was not simply a heartfelt, sincere feeling, right? He labored. He put his, I guess, emotions and his gratitude and, I guess, his faith, he put it into action, right? And so faith without works is without works is dead. And so faith really is an action. We need to show it, right? You know, people, you might say, I mean, actually I ask people are like, oh yeah, I love that person, right? I'm such a good friend. Like, I don't or sometimes like I minister to people, they're talking about their friendships, and they're like, oh, you know, I thought we were such good friends, but like the person, I just don't feel like they appreciate me. And so they're implying I'm such a good friend, right? And then I ask them, how are you such a good friend? And it kind of catches them by surprise. They're like, oh, and they're thinking like, oh. And then I asked, oh, how about that thing? oh, remember that person you were there, like, for instance, you know, oh, they were in the hospital just a few last week. Like, oh, did you go visit them? Because you guys are such good friends. And they're like, oh, well, I was actually kind of, I was like, well, you know, if someone was like my close friend and they weren't doing well, I would prioritize myself to see them, right? And so oftentimes we have just really great feelings, but they're not put into action. And Paul, he did that, right? He was so grateful by the grace that he received and the transformation that touched his life, and he put it into action. It says he labored even more than all of them. But he says, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Right? He recognizes all this, even his transformation, even the fact that he's laboring with all his strength and effort, it's really by the grace of God. Right? And so what is Paul saying? He's saying, he's like, he's doing all this comparison, right? He's doing this comparison of himself, which is, I'm the least, then I'm the most, but really, it doesn't matter. Right? And I think that's the key, something for us in this, I guess, radical middle balance that we need to have. We are going to compare, right? It's totally natural for us to compare, to make judgments, and we do all this, you know, oh, someone's better than me. It's not even conscious. It's often self-conscious. And I know sometimes we're like, don't compare, don't compare. We compare. That's just what's going to happen. But what's significant is we don't put our value in it. You may compare yourself, right? I might compare myself to Ben. Oh, Ben is taller than I am, right? Oh, Jason, he's got such nice peppery hair. Because I'm just starting to get my white hair, and it's not coming in great. These are my comparisons, but should I put so much priority and value in it? No. The only comparison that is actually significant is our comparison actually to God, right? And I think that's what, when we're talking about true humility, it doesn't come from comparing ourselves to other people and recognizing we're less than them, right? True humility is when we compare ourselves to God and recognize our standing with God, right? And that's what righteousness is, our right standing with God. And so if we were to do that, sincerely do that, and just the only person we compare ourselves to is God, our creator, and his standards, then we would recognize we're always going to fall short. And what we're always going to need is grace, right? And that's, I think, the humility that we're looking for, right? And Paul mentions at the very end, at verse 11, whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. And so he's saying, like, he's doing all this comparison with the other apostles, and his conclusion is, actually, it really doesn't matter. End of the day, it didn't matter if it was them or me. You know, we just did the work of God, and we preached, and the result was you believed. It didn't really matter, because end of the day, it's really God, right? God is the one who's gonna, by his grace, touch your life, by his grace, touch your circumstances, bring transformation, and in this case, I guess, really cause people to hear his word and believe. I'm going to invite Mon up. And I think for today, I just really want to highlight where Paul says, his grace toward me did not prove vain. right? And I hope that really will bring conviction, right? It will bring motivation to run this race that we're all on together. Oftentimes, it's not easy. It can be very difficult. It can feel like a marathon. And so we need to tap into the grace that God, when we were so undeserving, came and gave towards us. And it's that grace that's going to cause us to run as hard as him, to run as hard as Paul, so let's just take a moment, let's maybe think back to how you first encountered God, and what he's also been continually touching your life, even though we don't deserve. And let's respond in our hearts, and hopefully also through our actions, to not take his grace in vain, but to labor even more.
My God, my God.
Who are suffering from chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray for God's hand on their lives, for supernatural, miraculous healing, for God to just extend His grace and also bring encouragement as well to everyone on the list. Let's also pray for those who are suffering from illness, also in need of word of salvation. Let's pray for opportunities, for open hearts, and also God's healing. Let's also pray for those who are suffering from infirmities. Thank you. let's also pray for those suffering from COVID. Let's pray for Sterling, for his recovery, for God to heal him. Let's also pray for the frontline medical workers, pray for their protection. Let's also pray for those who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for Catherine and James. Mission focus today. Let's pray for Japan and Peace Sophia and Jungmin and Hyunjin. Let's pray for US, SPNY plant, Kelly, Jess, and Ruth. Let's also pray for India, our missionary Kelly. Let's just cover. Let's also pray for the Mission Council. Let's pray for Peace Samuel, Tim's, I guess, no more Sally. Rachel, no Sally. Peace Sam, Tim, Mike Lee, and John. Also pray for SP Fam. Let's pray for the Fostering Adoption Ministry. let's also pray for our Friday night gatherings tonight. Let's pray for IP, SP youth, and also SPU. Let's also pray for the pregnancies. Let's continue to pray for Hina, Rachel B, Joni, and other moms. Let's pray for the house churches, Agora, Go, McCain, Mac Daddy, Providence Bay, Zion. I know a lot of them are probably doing their Thanksgiving dinners tonight. So let's pray for just a time just full of gratitude and Thanksgiving. For today and the passage that we looked into, Lord. We're just so grateful for how you touched our lives, even when it was so undeserving. Yet you initiated and extended your hand, your grace towards us, Lord. And because of that grace, Lord, we would, like Paul, not respond in vain. We wouldn't do nothing, but we would respond by just running this race as hard as we can, Lord. Not because out of earning or deserving, but simply out of a love response to what you did, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Just ask for your grace and mercy to be extended to us this day, for your guidance and your hand upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.